This Lenten season, we are reflecting on some of the questions Jesus asked. Last Sunday, if you were here, you remember, we considered the first question, what are you looking for from the Gospel of John? And today, we turn to the second question, what is your name from the Gospel of Luke? Names are an important part of who we are, our identity. Our names reveal to other people something about who we are and where we came from. Anyone who sees or hears my name would know that either I came from somewhere in Asia or I have Asian parents. I understand among the Kono in Sierra Leone, children are traditionally named according to their birth order and gender. So if your first name is Sia or Sar, people would know that you are a firstborn child. Sias? SARS among us? All right. Oh, Daniel. Pastor. And if your name is Kumba or Tamba, then people would know you are a second-born child. Kumba, Tamba? Oh, not many. Okay. Tamba Tokbawa is in Sunday school now teaching. What is Kumba? Are you hiding? Oh, she's not here this morning. Okay, all right. Yeah, do you remember? Kumba joined our church last Sunday. Okay, if one has a biblical name, again, Pastor Daniel, we know that the person has a Christian family background. The meaning and sound of our names can also create certain images for us. So choosing a name for their children is something parents give much thought and discussion over. They go through books of names for babies, trying to find the most beautiful and perfectly fitting name for their baby who is on the way. I remember those a few months, my daughter and her husband discussed which name to choose between Olivia and Isabel. And finally, they did back and forth, and then finally they chose Olivia. And when Olivia was born, oh my goodness, this baby perfectly looked like Olivia. But that was not the case for me. Actually, not for my parents. They did not have to sweat over the name choice for their first child. Back then in Korea, the tradition was for grandparents to name their first grandchild. So my grandfather named me Ogyeon, a combination of two characters meaning jade and pond. Did I like my name? Nah, not at all. I thought Ogyeon sounded too girly and old-fashioned. I envied my friends' names that seem to sound more modern, more creative, and sophisticated. But what could I do? After all, that was the name my grandfather chose for me, and I was to feel so honored since my grandfather gave that name to me, and actually I was the only girl, and usually in my family, the grandparents would give the names for the sons, but not they didn't really care for the girls except the first one. So my two younger sisters, even didn't, they didn't have this privilege to receive these honorable names from our grandparents. And I was told that if my grandfather had even consulted someone who professionally created names for people. Well, eventually I have grown to like my name. When I moved to the States, United States, I thought about adopting a different name, an English name. But I considered this and that, but could not settle on the right one. Just not no name seemed to just perfectly be fitting who I am. So here I am. After 30 years later, at 30 years later, still I am Ogyeon. And for those, some of you, many of you already know this, for those who are not familiar with Korean names, especially my name, just imagine an oak tree for the first half of my first name and yawning for the second half. You can imagine my surprise when one day one of my colleagues said to me, "Ogyeon, a peaceful pond is the image that comes to my mind when I think of you." He said this not having any idea that the word for pond was part of my name. Perhaps my grandfather and the naming consultant were able to get a glimpse of who I would become. Or perhaps, over time, I have just grown into my name. All right, so just for a few seconds, I'm going to invite you to just turn to your neighbor quickly and say your name. Well, ask, what is your name? And then say your name, and then if there's a meaning or something, to tell your neighbor about your name, about you, your name, just do it. Let's do it for a few seconds. Yes, next time you have to just write it so you remember that. Time getting to know each other? Yes, I want you to continue this exercise in the coffee hour. There will be food, so it'll be more fun with over the food. As much as our names are important to us now, in the ancient world, they carried even greater value and significance. Ancient people understood that a name expressed the character and identity of the person who carried it. A name would reveal crucial information about one's family history, one's origins, and background. To know someone's name meant to know the person. So asking for someone's name was the first step of starting a new relationship. And today's scripture reading tells us that it was what Jesus did to a madman he encountered during one of his trips, road trips. Traveling to different towns and villages with his 12 disciples and some women followers, Jesus proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God. He cast out evil spirits and performed miracles of healing wherever he went. And near the end of that trip, Jesus took his disciples to the other side of the Lake of Galilee. It was a non-Jewish area, so a place of unfamiliarity to Jesus and his disciples. As soon as they arrived there, a madman ran toward him, shouting Jesus' name. He begged Jesus not to bother him. He already knew, he already recognized who Jesus was, and he pleaded with Jesus, "Don't bother me." But Jesus ignored the man's plea and asked him, "What is your name?" As the story tells us, the man lived naked in a graveyard. He was chained hand and foot and kept under guard. Highly likely, it was to protect others from his violent outbursts and also to protect him as well. He had been condemned as ritually unclean and cast out from his village. Probably out of fear, no one, not even his own family, wanted to get too close to him. In his greatly agitated state, he was more at home among the dead than among the living, living in tombs and in isolation. But Jesus did not avoid the man when he ran toward him. He saw beyond. Jesus was able to see beyond this man's terrible physical condition and horrifying mental state. The man answered Jesus' question, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion." Legion was neither the man's given name nor his nickname. It was a name he had adopted for himself, a name he had come to identify himself with over the years. A legion was a unit of the Roman army comprising of 5,000 to 6,000 soldiers who often treated people in occupied lands with brutality. When the man called himself Legion, he was revealing how much the demonic power was tormenting him. This poor man had forgotten his real name, the name of his childhood, the name his parents had given him, and the name his siblings and friends had called him by. The very name that revealed to other people who he truly was. All of it was lost to the ravages of his mental illness, specifically his multiple personality disorder, a condition people in the ancient world did not understand. His name and everything it represented, his true nature and identity, his family history, and his social connection had been taken over by his torment. And his demon-possessed condition became his new identity. I wonder how much we are like this man who called himself Legion. Of course, we do not live in the graveyard among the tombstones. We are not running around naked. We are not screaming at people. We are not drinking day and night. We are not sleeping on the streets. We are not making graffitis like this madman or woman did on our church sanctuary outside wall last week. We do not look or sound like a crazy man, crazy person. Especially on Sundays, and we are here in worship, surrounded by fellow Christian believers, as we try to behave very well, try to show our best self to one another. But I'm sure each of us can name a demon, or two at least, living within us. It might be too shameful or painful to recognize it or admit the truth about ourselves. But we know it's there. Though it might have been buried under the ears of denial. Who among us has not been hurt and wounded? Who among us has not wrestled with self-doubting questions? Who among us has not questioned God's presence in our lives in the midst of our troubles? We are invited to name them, our sins, our fears, all the things that push us from the presence of God and into the places of isolation. Even when the demons in our lives, unchained and get the better of us, and we become unrecognizable, even to our own selves, we are not alone. Our scripture reading for today tells us, Jesus comes to us and asks us that very question. What is your name? Who are you right now? How would you answer? 2,000 years ago, Jesus went outside the land of his own people and entered a foreign place. There he saw a man in pain and suffering and began to heal him, which is what he did actually everywhere he went. And he started by asking a question, this very question, what is your name? Today, Jesus comes to us as well. He enters the places in our hearts, the places that have drifted away from the presence of God. He sees us in pain and suffering, and he begins to heal us by asking our name. The very first step in the work of healing and reconciliation and restoration is to name names, to name the things that caused the harm. Yesterday, I was visiting with a family. This family is not part of our church family, so this family I was visiting with this four or five people in the family, and we're talking about their mother who passed away, and the first about half an hour or 45 minutes, everything they shared with me was so wonderful things, how perfect their mother was, how wonderful everything. There didn't seem to be anything that she did wrong, just perfect life and perfect mother, perfect wife, perfect worker, just perfect human being. And one by one, as they began, as they open their heart more, the stories of brokenness and pain and suffering began to come out. And then one by one, their laughter turned into tears and crying. And the time I planned to spend with them was actually an hour, and I ended up being there for 2 hours and 30 minutes. Yet, it was wonderful. At the end, we all realized how healing the whole process of just pouring out our hearts to one another in trust, in just being vulnerable with one another. Of course, that was not the whole healing they could do. Their healing process journey just started, and they will continue. And the healing started as they asked questions. Is that all? Really? Was there something else? Then they began to be honest with each other. That's when the healing could really, true healing could begin. God cares enough to ask for our name, to become intimate with us, to have a relationship with us, to love us despite the condition of our lives, despite the state of our hearts. The journey toward healing begins when we believe that God knows us by our name, our true name, not the fake name we created for ourselves, but the true name. And God forgets the name we have given to ourselves. The Bible tells us that some names change in the process of healing. We remember Abraham? He was originally Abram. Abram became Abraham, and he received a blessing of a multitude of descendants. His wife's name also changed from Sarai to Sarah. Jacob became Israel after a night of wrestling with God, and his new name became the name not only for himself, but also for the whole nation. Simon, the fisherman, and then the head disciple of Jesus Christ, became Peter, the rock, the foundation of the early church. Saul became Paul when he was confronted by the risen Christ. Jesus healed the man in the graveyard who called himself Legion, whose life was possessed by a multitude of demons. As he was healed, dignity and respect were restored to him, and he went away with a new identity. He was given a mission to spread all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Actually, the Bible, Luke does not give us his new name, but how about evangelist for his new name? The prophet Isaiah said, "But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Christ asked us for our name not just once, but again and again. He asked us for our name over and over because we often forget our true name, the very name God has given us. Child of God, God's beloved, and call ourselves, we forget that name God has given us and call ourselves by different names. So Christ comes to us asking that question he asked the man in the graveyard. What is your name? May we have the courage to answer. May we name the things which we keep buried, which keep us away in isolation. For as the psalmist says in Psalm 139, even the darkness is not dark to him. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light with him. May we embrace the healing and restoration that is available to us in Christ every time we honestly respond to his invitational question, what is your name? Thanks be to God.